Item number three, subdivision rezoning, 702 Regent Avenue West, to be heard concurrently with item number four, variance, 702 Regent Avenue West. I'm going to get the clerk.
Okay, item three is an application for subdivision and rezoning from an R1M residential single-family district to an RMFM residential multifamily district for 702 Regent Avenue West under file DAS Ed 13 of 2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, being item four, an application for a variance to allow substandard lot widths, lot areas, and parking facilities for 702 Regent Avenue West under file DAV 111794 of 2008D.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me, I didn't hear the variances.
Okay. Can you reread the variances, Madam Clerk?
Absolutely. This is to vary the proposed RMF-M dimensional standards of zoning bylaw number 200 of 2006 for the construction of a 9-unit multifamily dwelling to permit an east corner side yard of 9.7 feet instead of 20 feet, a below-grade terrace projection into the required front yard of 948 square feet instead of 36 square feet, and an accessory parking with parking directly off a lane instead of an aisle.
Okay. All right. Again, if you're here to speak on this item on in support or in opposition for information, please fill out one of these forms if you haven't done so already. I want to also stress that as councillors, we hear these hearings in a semi-judicial way, so we want to ensure that everybody has an opportunity to speak. So please be respectful while other people are speaking, no matter what your views may be. If those of you who have attempted to call a councillor regarding this but haven't been able to discuss it with you, is because we have to hear all arguments for and against one side or the other here in the public hearing where everybody has an equal say. So the first the applicant I'll call up with regards to this item is Carl and Carla Devlin to speak on their application.
And
oh, okay, Mr. Thiessen, and I have you registered here as well. Okay, please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
I am Bill Thiessen. My address is 942 St. Mary's.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you remind me how much time I got?
Yeah, I'm watching the clock. That's fine. Thanks.
Have you started the clock yet?
I'm going to quickly go through this pictures on the top.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess we're going to start on a very short but a little bit of a controversial point. But the Devlins have asked me to raise this point, and I have a letter here from Mr. Gerald Bazarab, and this is what he's stating, and I'm going to pass this to any one of you. I just have the one copy, unfortunately.
And give it to the clerk.
Okay.
You want to?
Okay. I know what it says.
Oh,
yeah. Basically, what it indicates is that there was a petition passed among some of the area residents, and that in that petition, it indicates that this is going to be a low-income or halfway house type development, and the owners, the Carrington Homes and the Devlins, wanted to be absolutely positively sure in everyone's mind here tonight that that's not the case, that they are building 9 condominiums. That is why they've engaged my services, and certainly there is no attempt to create any confusion here. That's what they're building. So it seems, we heard it, and you take these things as rumor and conjecture and, you know, whatever, but this person has actually felt strongly enough about it. He's here tonight, by the way, to bring this forward, so I thought we wanted to have that brought to your attention. Okay. Now, regarding the zoning change to go from what it is now to what would be required for 9 residential units to be built there, What I've provided to you is my background, very, very shortly, is 28 years of real estate service, working on many, many, many condominium developments. And one of the things I did in preparing for this meeting is to research what the property values were in this district. The property values in this district, on average this year, with all of our increases, is $161,400. Now, Mr. Devlin and Mrs. Devlin are planning on marketing condominiums at exactly $169,000. So it's coincidental, but the reason we bring it up as valid is that there have been some people that we feel that may have thought that this would be an abject or a negative effect on the property values of the neighborhood, and we're thinking that no, actually it fits in, not deliberately so, more coincidentally, but very much into the mainstream of what property values will be in this area. We believe that the people that would be moving into these units will be very much in the same or similar socioeconomic positions as their neighbors. And once again, we're reiterating, they will not be tenants, or this will not be subsidized housing in any way, shape, or form. The new construction created by this development will enhance and improve the area where most of the housing stock has been built in the 1950s. The addition of these units will basically bring to this area a nice mix of what is commonplace throughout the rest of Winnipeg. So I should mention that Transcona is probably one of the least affected by the fastest growing part of the real estate market in Canada, and I have statistics here from Stats Canada, I can share with you or if you can just listen to me, but ultimately showing that condominium ownership is up 36% from only a few years ago. And that is certainly a trend that we're seeing again and again and again. And what you're seeing in neighborhoods like Tuxedo and River Heights, and we could go through so many different neighborhoods, these are definitely trends that are upon us. There's for two reasons, and two different reasons. One is seniors are looking for housing, and they're looking for housing that provides not having to shovel snow and cut grass and have the maintenance that they that are having with their single family home. And right now in Transcona, there is almost no other options other than rental if you want to stay in your neighborhood. And in my past marketing of many condominium projects, you rely almost exclusively, for most part, on your neighbors. So in other words, somebody from Charleswood is just flat out not going to buy one of these condos. It's going to be Mr. or Mrs. or both from within, oh, it could well be within a mile or 2 mile radius. And so what this provides is an opportunity for seniors and for young couples that are having a very difficult time climbing into the housing market. The rite of passage of a Winnipegger to own a single family home, that moment is basically passing us in some ways as prices climb and climb and climb and escalate by 30 and 40 and 50% over the last few years. So this provides for that. Owners attracted to this type of housing, as I've indicated in the, what I've provided to you, we are looking at, even with some stairs, so we're going to have the designer describe the project very quickly here now, but even with some stairs, our typical buyer for a suburban condominium is a senior. That is still the highest part of the market. The only deviations from that are the Osborne Village in downtown, where we have a young urban professionals, couple singles, but typically we're looking at who is your neighbor going to be if this project goes forward. It's going to be either a young couple or it's going to be a senior citizen. Most will come from Transcona. And the thing that we would like to emphasize, this may seem like the nose on my face, but ultimately is that these are condominiums. These are people that will bring a pride of ownership with them. This is people that will either have to borrow $170,000 and to provide a way and means of how they can do that and make a bank happy. Or this is people that have $170,000 cash. But I think the thought that this is going to be transient people, troublemaking people, or in any connotation a negative person, I think you just have to go through the hundreds and thousands of condominiums and Winnipeg and realize they are simply homeowners. So when they pass a chocolate bar wrapper on the sidewalk, they stop and pick it up just like an owner does. No, they don't throw their Slurpee jugs on the yard. They leave that for the kids. What we're looking at is this, is that this fits in, and we have followed very much with what administration has said. In the report that we have been given a copy of, and thank you very much, administration supports this, and why they support it is it blends in very well with Plan Winnipeg 2020 and the whole idea of reinvigorating and revitalizing and bringing anew to what is old. And so not that Transcona is old and is in a historic way as downtown Winnipeg, but certainly Transcona is a neighbor that could use something like this and something that is new and fills in. So it works away from urban sprawl. It works away from not reusing, and it brings about a density that is certainly something that is in favor of this neighborhood versus against. The fuel alone saved of having someone to drive an extra 3 miles to get to a new subdivision, every task that they have compared to its infill, we believe is a very positive impact on the city of Winnipeg. For the description of the project, I'm going to have Mr. Brian Mansky come forward. We have an artist rendering. And he's going to basically provide exactly physically what's to be built on the site.
take a moment to explain.
Could you also state your name and address for the record?
Certainly.
Thanks.
Name is Brian Mansky. The address is 1200 Pemina Highway. I'm the designer for Carrington Homes of the housing projects he does, and this is one project he brought to us a few months ago, concept he asked us to put together for him. And I guess if you have seen, or you have copies with them in the package you gave him?
They have that? Actually, the administration report has copies.
They have copies of that. So I'll just turn this around this way. Briefly describe what we've put together here for this property is a 9-unit condominium. We have one of the variances is for a lowered terrace area in the front yard that goes beyond 36 square feet. What 36 square feet is intended in the bylaws is to provide for a covered entryway to protect an entrance into a house. We've produced a lowered terrace area in front of the units. In unit design, what we have is each tower here is, each component here is 3 units. This lower unit here.
Can you maybe stand over there if you don't mind, and so this way the committee can see what you're pointing to?
Okay.
Okay. Just this way the audience can see the, and as well the.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so the first variance.
How about if you make it so I can see too? Thank you.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. The first part of the variance deals with the lower terrace area here. So that we limit the overall building height. We don't want to make the building too tall, and we don't want to make basement suites. We've lowered the units half a story, about 4 feet into the ground. And so there's a series of about 5 or 6 stairs to get down to this terrace area. That is the lower level entry door, and that is their living room window. It gives them almost a walkout effect. It does give them a walkout effect into the front yard. Produces a lower than grade level, semi-private living space in front of the condo unit. I think it's quite a desirable area to give some actual usable space in there. The next two units here have separate entry doors. Into it. This door enters into the main floor unit here. This door enters into an area that has a coat closet and a stairway that takes you up to the second floor unit. On the second floor unit, each unit has its own balcony, direct access to the outside. So they have a living space here. This space has the combined area of the porch area that's in front of it. And as I said, the lower unit has the terrace area in front of it. So that's 3, 6, 9 units. We have sidewalks walking around both sides to take you to the parking area, providing the parking spaces required for these units. There's bicycle parking in the back, and there's the required garbage enclosures in the back. The other variance we were looking for, the 20-foot yard, was the side yard. This house is, this lot has a side street right here. We've pushed the unit
where?
Closer towards the side street on this side to 9 feet from 20. So we have actually more than 20 in the front. We've set the units back further than we would normally would if this was a single family situation. We've given more front yard space, but we've taken some from the side yard, which is not a really usable space. It's access to the rear yard only out of that side. And there's a street, not another neighbor on that side. Side yard we have here is consistent with any other side yard requirement. We have no planning this in any zone. The units themselves are two-bedroom with their own heating systems. Heat ventilation and air conditioning systems are contained within. Each unit has a laundry room and storage space. So they're all fully independent units in that respect. Fairly generous in size for a two-bedroom unit, maximizing. Try to use the space on the site as much as possible to give the space to the interior of the homes to get these up as big as we could for the lot we're dealing with. And that's all I have on that.
Okay. Are there any questions?
I have one, possibly two questions depending on the answer to the first one. First question is, did you have a public meeting or an open house in the community in which to show your...
No.
Yes, that's... Order, please. Our order, okay.
Did you have an open house?
To answer the question, Mr. Devlin connected with staff from Planning Parking Development, asked basically what process to go through. He was advised that it would be good to be connecting with the adjacent neighbors, and he did do so. So he did the walk, and he did do some door knocking, and provided to them sketches, floor plans, site plans, basically renderings of not as elaborate.
But you didn't have an open house, which was my question.
Correct. To my knowledge, you don't.
Well, I guess my next question would be, why not? I think a lot of the concerns that you've said were raised by residents here would probably have been alleviated if you'd had an open house and had people an opportunity to get their questions answered. You've already stated, I haven't heard what the concerns are here, but you've already stated that there was some misinformation. Wouldn't that have been alleviated by having an open house?
Misinformation, though, was from people that were knocked on their door. They were told exactly what was to be developed, and they were given plans. Those exact people were the ones that then went with the petition.
Thus my point. If you had an open house so that everybody could have heard,
I think, and
there's an opportunity to do that, am I not correct? Before you submit, there's an opportunity for you to have an open house in the community.
Mr. Devlin, I'll give a very 1 minute history, Mr. Devlin. They do infill housing in Transcona, Carrington Homes. They work almost exclusively. They are Transconaites, Transconians, and they work in Transcona. This is the first multi-family development that they are undertaking. And so they are literally learning as they go. And so I think they're certainly just attempting to, they have gone through what they felt was the City of Winnipeg Planning Parking Development, asked for their guidance. And their guidance was to not suggesting that. And I hear what you're saying, Councilor Tong, that may have been a good idea. But certainly that is, they just took the protocol given to them and followed through on that.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I may have some questions. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, can I just quickly finish?
Sure, go ahead,
Mr.
Jason.
I just wanted you to understand physically what the project would look like. I've provided to you, this is pictures that were taken this morning of, if you stood exactly in front of 702, it's the last stage, it's kind of a heavier stock. If you stood exactly in front of 702 Region West, this is what you're going to see. This is what you'll see. You'll see 2 3-story apartment blocks immediately across the street. That was taken just standing, you know, like if you could do a 360, then that would have provided that. What you'll see is a very large shopping center. So in other words, if I stand this way, I have 2 apartment blocks. Immediately to my front, you'll see the bottom left hand, that's a chiropractic center. To my right, you'll see a very substantial parking lot. And what you'll also see is clearly, which we're all very aware of, is Region is a very major thoroughfare with tens of thousands of cars. So we are humbly presenting to you that this change in some ways isn't much of a change. If you simply look at this complexion and said, how does this single family home fit into this as a mix, then I think that we can argue the point, not that it doesn't, but that this development, the height of this building, for example, certainly is not as high as its neighbors. That's just a fact. So that the developer, I will say this too, from advice from Planning Property Development, which is probably very good advice, he was going to develop 12 condominiums, and he had plans, the whole thing. They said, look, take a step back. They wanted the side yards. They wanted to distance back. He did, and he has, gone to 9 units. So that is, though, that where the economics stop and start. He can't do 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 makes sense. Less than that does not make sense. So I wanted to be clear on that. He was going to do 12. Good advice came to say, look, help the neighbors out here, fit in, look more residential. So the building that's being created is a very residential-looking building. Arguably and subjectively, in an opinion value, I think it's very much nicer looking than the existing apartment blocks that are right across the road from it, are certainly no worse, I think, on a bad day. So that what we feel in conclusion is that this provides a niche that Transcona has been lacking. It provides new housing and all the obvious benefits to it, and it really is a fit with a neighborhood that clearly what this illustrates is this is one of those really mixed-use situations. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, further questions? No? All right. I don't have any questions at this time, Mr. Thiessen, but you'll have an opportunity to respond as the applicant following all the other delegations. So.
Thank you.
You can make a note of any concerns to respond at that time. I may have questions at that time. Also in support, Charlotte and Morley McFarlane. 706 Regent Avenue West. Register in support. Do you wish to speak or just to register in support? Register in support. Okay, thank you. Brian Mansky, 200-, is that? Okay, right, okay, thank you. Register in support. Gerald Basarab, 700 Victoria West, registered in support?
Okay.
Are you registered in support, Gerald, or in opposition? In support. Okay. All right, please come forward. No, there's a chair here. There's a chair here. Yeah, have a seat. And,
okay. Good evening, councillors.
Good evening.
Concerns, residents. We all know each other. Not really. Well, I'll tell you a story when you took the garbage from the bank.
Order, please. Address your, through the chair, please.
Anyways, this evening I wish to address concerns I have in regards to 702 Regent Avenue West. I didn't bring my glasses. Carrington Homes proposed condominium project. It is my understanding that the people, the proper procedure to procure a petition is obtain all information pertinent to the petition before starting a petition. Do not disclose any information when you go around with a petition. You should go as an individual, let the people tell you whether they're for it or against it. That's exactly what I went out and did on my own. Initially, when I see the sign go up there, it was new to me. That's a new form of getting a variance, that big white sign. Usually what we used to get is a little yellow sign with a little stick, and half the time the people would break it down. You've come up with a new idea. Great. Now, along with those signs, you should have the layout of what is going to be put up there. Then the people, we wouldn't have these people here this evening if they were clear on what was going up there. And I take offense to some of the comments I got from some of the residents that I knocked on their doors and I told them who I was. I live in the area, 700 Victoria West. And they said, well, it's going to be a halfway house. It's going to be a this and that. I said, excuse me, I take offense to that. I'm looking at these homes, these units, to buy one for my mother. Now, if you think my mother is riffraff, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Okay? And I will be retiring soon, and I am looking for accommodation along those lines too. Now, these people don't realize these units are larger than some of our homes. They're 1,100 square feet, each unit. Now, somebody has obviously gone out with a petition, and my understanding is they never even took the time, the effort, to phone Mr. Winthorpe. I phoned Mr. Winthorpe. He never got back to me, but I phoned him. Okay? I still respect him. No problem. I went ahead and took the other number off the board, which just happened to be Carrington Homes. I called there. There was an answering service. They forwarded me with another number. I phoned. I spoke to Carla, I believe it was. And she got me on to Carl, I guess it is. And we spoke over the phone. I asked him, please, send me something that can give me an idea of what's going up there. I said, I tried to get a hold of the city, and I got no response. Not faulting you, you're a busy man. I'd probably have to come down and pick it up myself. But he was good enough within the day to bring it to my door and put it in my mailbox. I never had a word with him. Yesterday was the first time I met this gentleman. And I said to him, it's a beautiful plan. It's something that I would personally like to buy. Not only for myself, my mother. And a lot of these residents here tonight should be really considering looking at these condominiums for their retirement. All the maintenance is going to be done there. Snow removal. Everything is going to be done. landscaping. And the beauty of it is, from what I understand, it's going to be a co-op. It's going to be a co-op. So whoever buys in there is going to be on the board. And they're going to decide what they're going to do there. They're going to decide, okay, we're going to make a flower bed over there, we're going to plant trees over here. And nobody craps in their own yard if they buy the place. You're going to look after it. Now, these rumors or stories that have gone around the neighborhood, I'm appalled by it, because I don't know where they think these people are coming from. These are people from the immediate area that should be looking at these suites. And they've gone in the wrong direction. And I felt kind of, when I was going door to door, I had some people sign on my petition in favor that signed on their petition against. Now, obviously, I had done my homework. I did my homework. It's in my area. The sign out front just gave me information as to where I could get more information. Now, I've got a picture of it. I got the floor plans. Did anybody care to come to my door and ask if I was in opposition or in favor of it? Nobody came to my door. I did this on my own. And when I first seen it, I thought, wow, what a smart project. He's utilizing the whole piece of property there that's been sitting that way for the last 30, 40 years. And now he's willing to take down that building and put up something that's going to fit perfect in the neighborhood. Perfect. Except maybe the people across the back lane, they won't have any place to shovel their snow, to throw it into his into that vacant lot. Or they may have to fix their single driveway and make a double driveway into their yard so they can park their vehicles properly in their own yards. Because right now, the one home has two vehicles in the yard, and part of the vehicle is sticking out into the lane. And, irregardless, but it's sticking out into the lane. Now, if there's going to be a problem with parking there, according to this plan, there's one stall for each unit. He's even allowed a handicap one. And then the board can decide whether they want more handicap or, you know, I don't know, I guess that he has to have one handicap. I don't know. I don't know the rules on that, but I said, that's great. There's a handicap spot. You know, my mother's not handicapped yet. But I'm concerned when she gets another few years up, she's 75 now, when she's 80, she may need something there. I questioned him about elevators in the building. I said, I know it's not up to you to put elevators in there, but have you put it into the plan that it can be put in at future date? Say somebody is handicapped and they have to get in there. Now, I'm not going to go and carry my mother up three flights of stairs. But my understanding is you can put a lift on that building up to the third floor. It's going to cost the individual living there, yes. They're not required to put that in here. But he still has taken that into consideration. And the bottom line is here, I can't find a fault. And I sat down for hours, and I went over this, and I went over this, and I went over this. And I got so excited about it, I went out to the neighborhood and banged on doors. I thought I was going to get a positive response from the neighborhood. When people are telling me we're going to have a halfway house, we're going to have riffraff living in there, it blew me away. I could not understand where they got this information from. And all it took me was two calls to this gentleman over here, which I never received the call back. One call to the developer, and there it was. Now, I don't know if the people opposed have been led by an individual that can't accept change. We all know change is happening. Change is happening every day in our lives. Transcona needs a place like this. The seniors' home down the street, we all know what's happening there and what happened there. I don't have to get into that. This is more independent living. My mother right now is living in a senior's apartment, walking down dark halls, walking up 4 or 5 flights of stairs. No. When I seen this, I was ready to buy. That's all I have to say. I hope the people in opposition can seriously look at this and weigh out both sides of it. Not just jump to the gun and go in opposition. I didn't do that. When I first went to that sign, I said, what is going up here? But I took the time and the effort to go and do my homework. And this is what I came up with. I'm willing to buy a unit today. And I could be neighbors to all these people. I am a neighbor to them now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Mr.
Is there any questions or?
I'll ask. Is there any questions?
No.
Okay. No, I don't have any questions at this time.
But, okay.
Thanks very much, Mr. Extra. Okay. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else registered in support here that hasn't filled out a form? Anybody else registered in support that I haven't mentioned? Seeing none, I'll go through those registered in opposition. The forms here. Lionel Callow, 633 Melrose Avenue West. Mr. Callow, registered in opposition?
Yeah, I'm in opposition.
Pardon me?
I'm in opposition to it.
You're in opposition. Do you wish to speak, Mr.
Callow? I'm also in opposition to the building.
Want to speak, you have to come forward and state your name and address for the record and speak into the microphone. Everything here is being recorded.
Yeah. My name is Lionel Callow. I live at 633 Melrose Avenue West.
Okay.
And I'm not so much in opposition to the building, but we didn't get any plans and what it says on here is that the building is 9.7 feet from Morose Avenue. And if it's that close, the house that's there now is set back. It's set back. And then there's a solid fence that goes 30 feet from the front, the sidewalk, in other words, the property line, and it goes back 30 feet, and that's where the fence starts. So I'm driving down Regent Avenue, and I'm coming along, and when you go through 60 kilometer speed zone and then into a 50, everybody behind you is 5 yards behind you. They're still going 60 and I'm going 50. And then when I get down to turn, I can't even with the house that's there and the fence that's there, when I go to turn, I can't see whether there's a car coming or not. But I got to go around the corner, and I've gone to the police and talked to the city many times trying to get the road Morose not to have parking. They say I got to take up a petition. Who am I going to get the petition at? I mean, I took up a petition and I live on Melrose, and I took up a petition and got many names to get a parking sign put up, no parking, 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, 2-hour parking. And that was because they had fire industry on Pandora, and everybody was parking in up and down our street. And they still do it in the 700 block, but I had the signs put up in the 600 block, and they don't do it there, but they had signs up on Morose, and they took them down because 4 people signed. But every time you come, and so when I go around the corner, now somebody is coming on his side of the road, and there's a parked car there, and he swings over. He's doing 50 kilometers an hour heading towards Regent, and I'm coming around the corner. Now, if I keep coming around the corner and smash into him, the police tell me I'm at fault. that I have to stop out in the middle of Regent. And so that, I mean, there's things like this that cause problems. And so I, what I did is I wrote it down that what they need to do, what they need to do is put 2-hour parking signs from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night on the 700 block of Melrose. This is if they're going ahead with it, as well as the same type of signs from all down boroughs, from Regent to Pandora, because if you don't have those, you're going to have a serious accident, especially when you put up and have a building like this with all these great big trees, and now you're coming down and you can't see for all the trees, all this, you can't, as a matter of fact, they got a, now they got a lilac bush there, and that restricts my view of going around the corner. And I know when I bought the house, the guy next door to me had to have a 12 foot to his lot to keep his house back from the road so that somebody coming down the street can see who's coming up and down Morose. This is when you on the corner of Morose. And so what I did is I wrote down that we're going to get increased. It's a very bad area because the wind blows the snow across from the shopping center and it comes all down and gets all on, and we get snow galore. Now that they put that big building up, some of it at least would go into the properties that are there now. But now the snow will just blow off that building and it'll end up all over the street. And we'll get snow drifts that we never had before. And so this is my thought about it. You can't come up with a good reason, but for one thing, they wrote this thing, and it said a below grade terrace projection into the required front yard of 948 square feet, in brackets 88.069 meters. What does that mean? Don't they know that if you convert square feet to meters, you've got to, it's that it's square feet, it's going to be square meters. It's not going to be just meters. Meters is one distance from here to there. And then it said instead of 36 square feet, 3.34 meters. And I don't even know what that means. Why is this on here? I want to know how far it is from the front of the building to the front of his of the property on Regent, because if it's 10 feet, you won't be able to see around the corner. And so I don't know what it is as far as, we didn't get anybody coming knocking on our door. I mean, you expect everybody individually to go out phoning this guy and that guy. It's all right if somebody is retired, but what if you're working? You know, you don't have time. And me, I'm retired and I'm doing my gardening, and I haven't got time to run around after something like that. To me, it's up to them to show you pictures, even when they put the diagram of it. You're standing with Regent behind you looking at it, and they got the diagram upside down. And so I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you, to me, they, so I don't know where this, what this means. I don't mean about the grade. I don't know what it means. So I you know, all there's, I wrote more things here, but if they do go ahead with this, I want the city to put no parking signs on Morose and on the 700 block of Melrose, because they got 8 parking spots, or 9 parking spots, and they got 9 families. You think they're only going to have 9 cars? All those cars are going to be parked all over the place. in front of people's houses up this side street. You'll be, when you're driving up and down Merle's, you'll have to drive on the wrong side of the road if you're going towards Regent, because all these cars are there. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, Mr. Kello, are there any questions, Mr. Kello? No, seeing none. Thanks, Mr. Kello. Thank you for your presentation. Ronald Kapp. Hi, Mr. Kapp. Hi. Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Come. Welcome. 635 Melrose Avenue West.
My name is Ron Kapp. I live at 635 Melrose Avenue West. Mr. Kello brought up a few things that I was going to discuss this evening. But just before I get into some of the other items, I just want to discuss Mr. Basarab's speech just a few minutes ago. He may be all excited and everything about this condo unit going in, but I just wonder how excited he'd be if he had switched houses with one of the neighbors that's directly affected, that lives directly behind this condo. And I wonder if he'd be very excited then if this condo unit was in the process of going in. I don't think he'd be very excited having this dumped right into his backyard. Mr. Thiessen, it was all fine and dandy to say this is a good fit on Regent Avenue. Well, it may be a good fit, but just not on that side of Regent. It may be a good fit on the other side, where the majority of businesses are located. But on our side of Regent Avenue, it's 99% housing. And it's been that way for about 50 years. It hasn't changed. You can go right up from Plessy Road and you can go all the way down to, say, Winona, and there's not one business located on that side of the street. We consider this to be a business. So anyway, there is a difference of opinion as well on that petition. The only thing that I saw on the petition was a change in the variance and whether you were for or against this condominium unit going to. It didn't even mention condominium unit. So I don't know where this halfway house or what all this stuff comes from that was sitting on a petition. I never seen a petition like that. The only petition I seen was one that was passed around from Mrs. Dubell here that was presented to the city. And that petition, I would say, out of all the houses that myself and Mrs. Dubell's husband, Ted, right over here, and Mrs. Dubell had gone to see, we left the opinions up to the people to decide whether or not they were for this condominium going through. And out of all the people we've seen, I would say that probably 90% of the people just within a square block area signed that petition against. So there was possibly 10% of the people that maybe were for it. And who knows even if that 10%, because a lot of the people were working, so we couldn't contact them. So I would say we had probably a high percentage, up in the 90s at least, that are totally against this. That being aside, that's, you know, just going through to make things clear. One thing, okay, Mr. Kello was talking about the overflow parking from the condo. Well, I also agree with him that I think it's also going to make it very dangerous because there's no parking signs right now on Meraz. So that's going to make the traffic increase in that one particular area. And we're having problems right now just with people from the two apartment blocks directly across from the proposed condo unit and from MCI, or Motor Coach Industries, parking along that street now. And what it's doing, it's creating a lot of problems on Meraz that was never there before. Because I grew up in that area. I was born in Transcona. And what's happening now is that cars are turning from Regent Avenue, they're heading west and turning left on Meraz. So in other words, the condo unit is here. You're driving and heading west on Regent, turning on Meraz, which is the street on the side of that condo unit. And there's also cars heading east on Regent Avenue, making a right-hand turn on Meraz. So in other words, you're turning in, there's cars coming in this way. Now, what's happening in that is that because there's cars parked along this side of Meraz, the cars that are normally supposed to go in that lane can't get in that lane because there's cars blocking their direct path. So they're heading out into the far lane, which this person who's making a right turn on Regent Avenue has the direct right-of-way to get into that lane can't get into that lane because there's a car speeding up about 50 or 60 miles an hour, which had happened to Mr. Keller one day. He just about got into an accident. He had to veer right over into his far lane because he would have driven right directly into another car that had no right to be in that lane. I don't care if there was cars parked on that other side or not. He had no right to be in that lane. That is not his lane. He should have waited till the traffic was clear, then proceed to get out into that lane. So anyway, we think that the excess from this condo unit is going to create even more havoc for parking. Because where else are the people going to go? They're going to park either on Mraz or they're going to park on Melrose. And chances are they'll park on Mraz because it's easier to walk. It's not as far. And that's just human instinct. Why do you want to walk 50 yards when you can walk 10 yards? Most people would rather say, I'd rather walk 10 yards. Garbage bins. We're not quite sure exactly what type of garbage bins this is. Is this the type of garbage bin that you see in most commercial areas where you have the truck with a big lift and it lifts up the garbage? Is that the type, or the type you have in an apartment block, the big blue bins? Or are they enclosed? Or does each unit have a separate enclosure for garbage like an individual house would have, say, with garbage cans? Because if it's one of those big bins, in the summertime, when the weather hits about 90 or 95 degrees, it can get awfully stinky. I know. I lived in an apartment block. Could smell it. I did that for 2 years. So, it's a possibility that could happen. Plus, it's also, the view. How would you like to live behind that and take a look at that every day? I don't think any one of you would like to do that. This area has been zoned residential, basically, for 50 years. We want to keep it that way. What's stopping other businesses from, if this goes through, what's stopping someone else from going on the next corner and then the next corner and the next corner? It's just like a vicious circle. It goes on and on and on. It changes the landscape, I guess in one thing we're, maybe we're just not susceptible to change. We like things the way they are. It's been that way for 50 years. We don't want to change it. We like it the way it is. We all know each other. We don't have any arguments. We believe that this is going to create a lot of hardship, a lot of problems, a lot of negative reaction between people. We don't want that. We've never seen that in our area. Our area is a nice, quiet area. We want to keep it that way. We also feel that we don't think that this is going to make our property values go up on a scale to what Mr. Thiessen said, that each unit was going to run at $169,000. We feel that it'll limit people from coming into the area to buy homes, and we feel that our house values will decrease just from the basis that perception is that majority of people do not want to live next door to a big unit. Condo, apartment block, doesn't have to be any one of those particular things. A bakery, why would you want to live next door to that? Why would you spend $170,000 if that's what my house is worth? Why would somebody want to come in and buy my house, which is adjacent to this condo, at $170,000 and spend $5,000 on a deck, which I'm just in the process of doing, and sitting out in my beautiful $5,000 deck and looking at this three-story unit? I'm not too happy about that. If it was in another area and it was housing, I'd be pleased. I'm not too happy looking out at a three-story unit and spending $5,000. Now I'm sort of having doubts whether I want to spend the money and fixing that deck. I may just fix up the existing deck. It's, I think, wasted money. Parking for visitors coming and going. Nobody's touched up on that, but that's another thing. You've got 9 more units in that area where there's just one on that lot, which creates the possibility of, 9, 18, 36, how many more people, how many visitors are coming and going to this place that aren't coming and going now? Right now there's just, a single gentleman. He may be married. I don't know him. I think he's single, here nor there. but there's not a lot of traffic coming and going in that area. We feel it's going to increase the traffic with visitors coming and going. That's because the unit only has 9 parking stalls. And Mr. Callow had mentioned as well that, as you know, that most people today, married couples, have more than one car. Both are working. Both have, they have 2 cars. So they're going to end up having to park, which is going to increase, which we've already discussed already. We feel the noise level is going to go up because of all the increased traffic, visitors, type of thing that isn't in the area now. It's a very quiet area. We feel it's going to detract from that. It's going to make the area a lot noisier. We also have a lot of senior citizens in that area. Like, there's majority of people have been there for, say, 50 years. Although it is changing, there is a change to a younger type of individual coming into the area, but there's still a lot of senior citizens in that area. And they don't like to see change. You know as well as I do, the banks brought in ATM cards. How many senior citizens do you know that embraced it with open arms? I had a heck of a time with my father. You know, he wouldn't accept change. He liked to go in to the credit union. He wanted to do business in person. Well, these people don't like change. They're happy with the way things are at the present time. Also, with a lot of the seniors using the back lane area, we feel with the extra traffic, extra vehicles, etc., we feel that it's going to be more dangerous for them because of cars coming out of that back area, heading out into the back lane. People use that back lane regularly to do their shopping. They walk up the back lane, they go up Mirage. You can come and see it every day. It happens every day. I see it maybe 20, 25 times a day. What happens if somebody's backing out, somebody's walking down that back lane, a senior citizen, it's not looking both ways, it's just looking straight ahead. Boom, car backs right into that individual. Don't think that's right. Lots of children as well, possibly, in that area. So there's a lot of bikers in that area as well, too. There's a school that's close by that's right maybe a block away. When you go across Regent, right in behind that shopping center, there's a school area in there, and there's a lot of children that use the crosswalk. It's bad enough right now with the crosswalk with the way traffic is right now. I hear screeches every day. You know, who knows what could happen. So, the snow, I don't know what they're doing with the snow clearing. I don't know what's going to happen in that one particular lot. If when it does snow, are they going to clear that snow, or are they piling it up, or is it going to be piled, is it going to obstruct further views? In other words, is it going to obstruct views when you're coming down the back lane behind that unit? Is it going to obstruct your view when you're heading east on Regent and turning right on Mirage? Another thing I'm not too clear about, too, is in the picture that Mr. Thiessen showed, it showed these great big huge trees on the right-hand side of Regent and Mirage. Well, if that's the case, that's even going to further diminish the view. It's bad enough having that building 9.7 feet, whatever it is, close to Regent Avenue. It's going to be worse if there's going to be huge trees right on the corner. Why would you want to plant a huge tree on the corner when that's a major area for turning? Doesn't make sense. Anyway, that's our opinion. I'm speaking on behalf of the neighbors, and we're not too happy. We just don't think it's a good fit for that particular side of Regent Avenue. I have nothing against condos, but we think that possibly it should maybe be looked somewhere else down Regent where there's more commercial settings next door, behind, but not directly behind people that have been in that area for 50 years. Waking up in the morning to look at a big garbage bin and to look up to see a 9-unit building. It's just not fair. We just don't think it's right.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kapp. Are there any questions for Mr. Kapp? No, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ted and Gladys Dubell. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Gladys. State your name and address.
Gladys Dubell, 703 Melrose Avenue West.
Welcome.
And I am one of those people that collected the petition. And I did not go telling anybody that it's riffraff or anything like that. All I asked them, are they for or against? And according to Mr. Besserov here, he said that we throw our snow over in the neighbors. That is not so. We never did once, ever. We clear our snow, but we never do it on the neighbors. We park from the aisle, but on our property. He's wrong to tell us that we have to park this way. We park this way, but on our property. So I don't know where he's making that up from. Also, I phoned Mr. Winthrop, and I did talk to him. He was very nice to talk to. I got a hold of him. I don't know why he couldn't. And I am not very pleased that it's going to be right into my back window. Sure, the front looks nice, but what will the back look like? With a bunch of kids, and what seniors will walk three floors up? When I can hardly walk down the basement with arthritis and what, no elevators and to walk three floors up. You know? But, and I phoned your office and I talked to your secretary. I couldn't hold a, couldn't get a hold of Lillian Thomas. She wasn't in. But that is wrong what he's saying. He doesn't live here. There, we do. And all the cars will be parked in front of our house. And I asked the builder, what happens if a kid gets killed in the back lane? He says, oh, well, it can happen anywhere.
Order, please. Order.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. DeBell. Are there any questions at this point? Mrs. DeBell? No? Thanks very much. How long have you lived at your address, Mrs. DuBois?
49 years.
Okay. Thank you very much. Miriam and Clyde Green. Miriam and Clyde Green, register in opposition. Mr. Green? Hi. Would you like to come forward and say a few words?
Clyde Green, 702 Melrose West.
Hi.
Everybody's talked very well. It looks like a nice place, but I still don't think it belongs there. The one little point I do have, they're talking about the garbage. Do we know if it is going to be one of those big bins or if it's going to be individuals?
We're making a note. There will be a question that we can pose later.
Well, the question is, if it's individual bins, maybe they don't foul their nest, they've used another term. The garbage men, they will. In nine houses, nine bins, a lot of that stuff is going to be dumped. I can tell you that. Basically, that's it. I am in opposition. Some of our friends here have spoken very, very well. We don't want it.
Okay. All right, Mr. Green. Thank you for your... Any questions, Mr. Green? No? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Green. Lesson Lena Mitchell. Hi, Lena. Make yourself comfortable.
Hello, my name is Lena Mitchell, and I live at 715 Melrose Avenue West, and I've been there for 49 years, just like my neighbors at DuBell's. Well, my other friends, speakers, and neighbors, they've already spoken about a lot of things that I wanted to speak about, but I'll continue for the odd ones that they didn't. I want to know, what is the maximum height limit for this area, for a building?
We'll ask that of the planner, but I'm making a note of your question for you,
okay.
Lena. Yeah.
Because I understand that the three-story building is going to be 33 feet, and I was told that the limit was 30 feet.
Okay.
So that's 3 feet above.
Okay.
Let's see. Mr. Basserab, I take offense at him saying he's our neighbor because he's not in our immediate area. And he speaks as though it's only going to be seniors in that building, which we know it won't be because it's open to children and families and so forth. And nobody would say anything bad about his mother. And I think that's about it. They've covered everything I wanted to say. But I have something personal for you.
Okay.
Russell, I have known you for a very, very long time. And please do the right thing by the people who elected you for office. Thank you very much.
I thank you, Lean. Before you go, you can't get away that fast. You're right, and it's always very difficult when you're put in a position to hear all sides and to try to adjudicate. But I always do try to do my best, so I thank you for your words, Lena. I guess I have a question for you, and that is, you mentioned the height, and I'll ask the planner when we have a chance after the delegations to ask some questions.
Oh, okay.
The 30 feet versus 33 feet. By the looks of it, it's almost equivalent to a 2.5 to 3-story property with the half basement in the ground and then the two levels above that. A 2-story house, if you had a single family property, for example, on the site, you could have the equivalent of a 2-story property. Is a 2-story in your neighborhood a fine fitting versus 2.5 or 3 stories in your view, i.e. height wise?
We haven't got any there.
Okay, but if
we don't have any 2-story houses.
But if you had a single-family 2-story house, would that be more appropriate in your view than?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Versus the 2.5 to 3-story building, which you're
right.
Seeing.
Right.
Okay.
And I can't see anybody living in downstairs. I'm 4'7", at 4 feet in the ground. That's not very much to look out a window, is it?
Right.
When you're short.
Right.
So I can't see. I just can't see it.
Okay. All right, Lena. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you. Any other questions? Sorry, counselors. Bernice Porter?
No.
Registered in opposition, Mrs. Porter?
Never in opposition yet.
Okay. Thank you very much. Did you wish to speak or just register in opposition?
Just opposition.
Register in opposition? Okay. Thank you. Gary Porter, registered in opposition. Also registered in opposition. All right, thank you, Mr. Porter. Curtis Pozia, Dr. Pozia, registered in opposition.
I'd like to say a few words as well.
Yep, please come forward, Mr. Pozia. Or Dr. Pozia, apologize.
Curtis Pozia, my office is at 705 Region West. I really come here with mixed emotions today because Mr. Devlin is a longtime family friend of 40-some years. And I do admit that a lady did come to my office regarding the petition about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't sign it, and I told her that I didn't want to speak to the developer, who I found out was Mr. Devlin. So he spent an hour at my office today, and I do take exception to, well, first, I think one of the main things that everybody said today was there's a traffic and a sound problem in the area, they're assuming that's going to be the problem. Mr. Basarab, who was here earlier today in favor of it, as I believe, when Cub Red, who went into the mall at Regent Park Shopping Center, he was in strong opposition of Cub Red putting a loading dock in the back of their building because he was anticipating increased noise and traffic at the same time. So I don't understand how we can have one, not the other today. At any rate, the communication seems to be very poor, with all due respect to Mr. Devlin, and Ms. Thomas had brought that up earlier, regarding not letting the public know exactly what's being built. And I don't really know exactly what's being built today. One of the concerns that I would have or ask would be, how far from the property line is this building going to be? Meaning, exactly how big is this unit? We know it's 9 feet from one side. How far is it from the other? I heard 3 feet. Again, that speculation is third hand. I don't know what it is. But it seems to be quite a large building. One of the people that came up this evening had stated that they heard that the rooftop was going to be 33 feet. Mr. Devlin was at my office today for about an hour, and he did say to me that the building, and that's why I asked about the variance earlier, because there was a baby sort of crying in the back. My understanding is that the variance should also read that it's too high, that Mr. Devlin indicated to me today that the building is 33 feet to the rooftop, but the city for three-story buildings has a limit of 30 feet. So I don't understand why that's not on the variance. That's a concern that I or people that are opposed to the building should have.
Before you go on, you're the second person to raise this. I'll ask a question right now. Do you mind if I interrupt your presentation?
Go ahead.
Okay. Could you clarify this matter for us, Mr. Wintrum?
Yes. In the R1 district, you can have a height of a building permitted to 35 feet. They're proposing to have a multiple family district, and the height of the building could be for up to 60 feet.
Maximum 60.
So there is no variance for height. So permitted right now with an R1 district where everybody, all these fine folks who live on Melrose, you can have a 35-foot height tall building.
Okay. So Mr. Devin told me it was 30 today.
30, but he is finally for...
That's
good.
Yeah. His building height is 33 feet or whatever, Mr. Devin.
He is filing not for an R1, but it's a...
RMF, which allows up to 60 feet.
Okay. All right. Sorry about
that. That's okay. That's okay. I'm just going to sidestep regarding variances for a minute.
Sure.
My office is in a side-by-side house that was applied for by a denturist to transfer that into a commercial realty business. And I still have the variance that he obtained 20 years ago. And that building in the variance, and you can check with your records somewhere at City Hall, I am not permitted to put a second floor on that building for any height. They don't care how big my building gets, how busy I get, I cannot put a second floor on my building. Now, my building is directly across from this structure that's going to be 33 feet high. And I told Mr. Devlin today that if, in fact, when I retire and I can't sell my practice with the building, I'm going to have to switch it back to two houses. And I'm going to be having a hard time selling that side-by-side directly across from a 33-foot by 72-foot structure. So in my view, my value of land is going to be greatly diminished with that structure being built across from me. And I told him today, and with all due respect, I said, you know, as a business owner, I'm not really opposed to your building. But as a homeowner, I can see why all these people are showing up here tonight, because they're concerned that it's obtrusive, it's very large, there's going to be decreased light, there's going to be traffic flow problems, there's going to be noise, garbage problems, as we've heard here today. I do have a question regarding parking. Are the rules of the city one spot per unit?
We'll ask that question.
Because I note that he does have 9 parking stalls, and it was brought up earlier. I'm sort of at the end of the line here. Most of the stuff's been mentioned.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's probably going to be 2.5 people per dwelling times 9 is 22 people. There's going to be, I would suspect, more than 9 cars there.
It's an issue that's been raised before by other allegations. Mr. Winthrop, can you clarify what's required for parking? Do you mind?
This is serious stuff.
There is no variance required for parking. They're providing adequate parking spaces, I do believe.
So you don't require one parking unit?
One per unit. If they couldn't provide that, they'd have to apply for a variance. One per unit, but they filed something called a parking management plan to indicate that they have also alternative transportation being provided, such as bicycle racks, etc. And it's on a transportation route, so it's not a variance for parking.
Okay.
But the building really isn't as caviar as Mr. Thiessen presents it to be. It's a large 33-foot high building by 72 feet wide that's going to encroach 9 feet from the street. Now, I don't know how far it is from the property line on the other side, and you don't seem to know that. I mean, to the west.
Can I answer that question?
Absolutely. It's 12 feet. There's no variance for the west side yard. It's just for the east side yard. The building is 12 feet from the west side yard, whereas in an R1 district, you can go down to 3 feet, so it's 12 feet. The front yard is going to be, let me just take a look here to make sure. The building will be, there's a front yard requirement of 25 feet, and that will be provided to the front of the building. Let's see, and just to check for the rear yard, I'm just looking at the plans here. I do believe the rear yard is also going to be, and there is no variance for the rear yard.
The front of the property is
And 27 feet in the rear yard, 25 feet in the front yard, 12 feet on the west side yard, and 9.7 feet on the east side yard.
Is that 9.7 to the road or to the sidewalk?
No, that's not even to the sidewalk. It's before the sidewalk. So it's not to the road. It's the sidewalk, then probably a foot in, because the city owns that. So it's going to be 9 feet from the property line, not from the sidewalk or the road. So it's probably about maybe 10 and a half, 11 feet from the sidewalk.
For me personally, and again, I come here with mixed emotions because I know Mr. Devlin so well, my office closes at 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, and usually there's not a lot of noise at that time, but for people that are here this evening, and there's mostly elders here, I wouldn't want to have to see them move away because of a big building being erupted in their backyard. You know, most houses produce noise after 5:30 or 6 when people get home from work, with kids crying and music blaring and cars revving. I leave at 5:30. It really is not going to impact me personally, but for the 20 or 30 people here, I truly believe that it will. Some people are here in favor but don't live on the street, and that's another issue, but that's neither here nor there. I guess in conclusion, when you actually deliberate, and I'm sure you're going to be doing that this evening, I hope that you would take into consideration the 80-some names that are on that petition, of which the petition, by the way, did not indicate that there was a halfway house, and I think I was one of the last people to sign that petition today. In fact, I signed it twice because I have two properties there. But I really hope that you do take into consideration the 80 names that are on that versus two or three people that are in favor of it, and put yourself into these people's shoes. If they had to make the decision and this building was being erupted in your backyard or beside your house, how would you really want them to vote on your behalf because you voted them? Thank you very much for allowing me to present this.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Posia. Any questions?
Dr. Posia?
No, thank you very much. Nelson and order, please. Nelson and Marianne Whitehead.
Opposition.
Register in opposition. Okay, thank you. Donalda Wild.
Register in opposition.
Thank you very much. Anybody else here register in opposition that hasn't filled out a form? Anybody else registered in opposition? Seeing none. Anybody here for information that hasn't filled out a form? Anybody here for information that hasn't filled out a form? Seeing none, I'll call the applicant back up, or in this case his representative, Mr. Thiessen, to address the issues that has been heard.
Okay, I think I'm just going to work through. I made notes of all the different speakers. We had, I believe, four in total here. We'll start with the first speaker. This gentleman seemed very preoccupied with traffic issues. I think that the traffic count on Regent is easily in the tens of thousands every single day. Turning onto Moreau's, I can see that's going to be an issue of safety. I understand exactly what he's talking about, where you slow down and you have to turn. We have an issue like that where I turn to go to my cottage, where there's 110-kilometer traffic, and you almost can't safely turn. And while I empathize with that, I quite frankly think that a building, or if you were there today, there's a huge fence that makes a blind spot on that corner. Either is not good, but certainly so it's my turn. You will simply have the same corner either way. So I think that his traffic concerns certainly are always legitimate. Anything to do with public safety is, but I don't think a building or a fence is going to really preclude or make any difference. The second speaker, we hear this again and again and again, and I guess this hits home with me because it's my primary business, but a condominium, for all of your purposes, and please listen to me, because you'll probably, many of you, end up in one, is a home. It's where people cook food. It's where people sleep at night. It's where people raise families. And I'm just a little perturbed that it keeps being called a business. We are not a 7-Eleven. We don't make concrete. We don't do evil, horrible things. It's simply a home ownership program that is different than single family. There's a bias here that I think harkens back to something from the 1950s or something. I mean, I'm just absolutely appalled that people that show up here, and I've been to these meetings, you've probably all seen me now repeatedly, and just consistently drag condos into that. I hear the good doctor.
Address your concerns to the chair, please.
That the good doctor talked about engines revving and stereos blaring. What is he really saying? Is that condo owners specifically have no social graces and so on? So I think that it's just without merit, without substance, and it's absolutely biased. If it was a race they were talking about, a religion, we would charge them. So I'm just a little bit perturbed with this whole thought that condos are some evil thing, blight upon this city. It's simply irrelevant and reasonable.
Point of order, Mr. Plazius. For a point of order, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Anyway, so if I carry on with that, it's simply because it seems to prevail every one of these meetings. If somebody talks condos, let me just finish this epitaph on condos. Condos are about simply having a lifestyle decision. And despite what everyone said about stairs and all the rest, let's put that aside. It's simply people that don't want to shovel their own snow, cut their own grass, and for economic reasons, they may be able to start out in a condominium as a young family. Now, I also heard all the people practically on the block talked about, oh, my God, what if there was families and kids there? Yeah, what if there were families and kids there? Wouldn't that be terrible? Weren't you a family once? Didn't you have kids that weren't, you know, 50 once, for Christ's sake? Like, I just absolutely positively find it not a sensible approach to take, that we've all been here 50 years, so is it a club that you have to be there for 50 years to join it? And I just find that the whole thought that people that live in a condo are not quiet, I have to remind everyone, people that will make an investment in a condominium, and I don't care what happens to this particular site, that is their biggest investment they'll make in their life. Now, I heard questions of parking and garbage and... So this is the biggest investment I make in my life. I'm going to take my garbage and throw it out in the yard because I'm so excited about the biggest investment I made in my life. I will look after that garbage no different than you and your single-family homes. End of story. What will happen with garbage? I don't know. Let's have the Hell's Angels round it up. I mean, everyone knows what will happen with the garbage. They'll do a neat, complete job. They'll take it, put it in a bag, and put it in a can like every one of you do every day. And I think I hear people talk about what would happen if there was this multifamily situation. Well, I know it's across the street, for goodness sakes, but 50 feet away from you is 2-3-story blocks, and you're quite happy with your life there with these people. Those are transient people. Those people come and go and come and go. Condo owners move into their house, they stay in their house. Now, I will say this. When I called the city, Mr. Wintrup, he returned my call. He had all the information that I needed, I would say. That was one call, and I got the information in 5 minutes. Thought I'd cover that off. People were talking about you were not returning calls. We talked about people showing up every one of these meetings that I have, and I think they're scared of change. And I understand that more than anybody. In a perfect world, I guess we would all have a great distance between us and our neighbors, but it is not the basis of good and healthy cities. I think that if these people could go ahead in a time machine a year or two from now, and look at the people that put their hard-earned money into home ownership on this site, they'd probably say, you know what, they are? God forbid, they're just like me. They're somebody that's from Transcona, lives in Transcona, and other than the fact that they don't want to cut grass, I think they're pretty much going to be on the same page. So I think that, with all due respect to everyone and their individual opinions, the administration, Planning, Property, and Development, has supported this proposal with no bias. They have no axe to grind. And why? Because it meets and exceeds or is underneath size requirements in every capacity that is here. And simply put, I think that the quality of life of everyone that is adjacent to this property, I understand them reacting. If I was somewhere for 50 years too, I'd probably be scared as well. So I am enlightened because I know that this, we could go citywide and stop and see where a condo meets a house, because that happens a few thousand times, and ask the house owner if he's perturbed with the condo owner, and I think the answer would unequivocally be, no, they are not.
Okay. Any other questions or comments at this point?
Okay. I don't think so.
No? Okay. I have some questions, Mr. Thiessen. Some issues were raised regarding garbage. What kind of garbage is going to be provided for?
I think that probably I'm going to make an answer up because I'm in marketing, so we do that, but it's probably going to be a good one. The answer is that I think that the city probably has stipulations that require all kinds of certain hygiene issues and garbage to be dealt with in a certain way, and I'm sure that's something that Mr. Devlin could provide a plan for. In other words, I'm sure that if it was important to the process here, I'm sure that that could be taken care of. In other words, that the bins or the coverings or the containment of garbage and refuse and blue boxes and so on could be certainly one of the things that could be addressed in the development plan.
There were some issues also with regards to parking. Can you just elaborate on what sort of parking you're providing?
I'm going to go back through many hundreds and hundreds of condominium sales here. An average condominium owner uses 1.5 stalls. Okay, so they obviously don't cut their car in half, but then what you could make a case for here, if it was average, would be that these 9 units will use 12 or 13 stalls, something in that range.
So what do you do with that extra four cars? And I'm not being sarcastic, I'm being literal. I think that we'll be okay with those extra four cars. And I would add this. In this price range, a lot of these people cannot afford two cars, and so it is not a given that they're two cars. And I would hearken back to they're either going to be young families or seniors who won't get, you know, in the middle of their life kind of people here. And typically those people, and especially at gas at 100 and God only knows what to fill my gas tank, I think the whole idea of everyone having two cars in 5 years, if this keeps up, is going to be the way of the condo anyway. But to answer your question, this isn't so much about being green, it's just being practical, is that with a vast experience to back this statement up, is that even if we had 13 or 14, we would have one for everyone. So most of these people will only have the one vehicle.
I guess the issue was raised also with regards to snow clearing. Could you explain? You didn't comment on that. How will that be looked after?
This is, again, I'm going to go to the experience with the condominium owner, and this is the kind of the fun of it. You don't have to worry about that darn snow, is they hire snow removal services. So unlike these folks here that have to get up there and hurt their back and shovel snow and try to find...
We hire people.
Or you hire people. Well, good for you. Good for you. I do too.
Point of order, please.
Yeah. Just to answer the question, is that there would be a snow removal service is always part of a condominium ownership package, and so I couldn't tell you which commercial snow removal company would do so, but they always work on it. They have the snow hits a certain base, they remove it, and it's taken away, and it's hauled away. It's not pushed into a back lane or something that clearly would create a violation.
The issue was raised, you heard it raised about the process. You indicated that you had contacted or somebody had contacted the city with regards to what was required with regards to the rezoning, and it was indicated to knock on doors in the immediate area. However, I know you've been in the business for a long time, and you know also that open houses and public meetings are often a good way prior to a rezoning to deal with issues and answer questions and address issues as well. Knowing that and knowing what you've heard tonight, would you agree that it might have been a better idea to have a public meeting and open house prior to this public hearing?
Respectfully, Councillor Wyatt, from the opinions that I've heard from the five speakers that have spoken in opposition, I think if we had provided more clarity, it would have been helpful, but I am highly doubtful they would have changed their opinions. I think if we were to draw a picture of this lot, we know who's here is the people immediately adjacent to it. And I think you're the ones that sit through these meetings again and again, but isn't this always the exact case? I don't, in my past, ever remember somebody building anything bigger than very small without at least the adjacent property owners consistently showing up and having an issue. So more information is better. More communication is always better. I think an open house obviously is a good suggestion. Having said all of that, I think that we have a vocal few people that are immediately adjacent to this site, and I believe that they are certainly against any change whatsoever. I would mention this to you, and this is not a threat. This is just real life, and we have real life here. Mr. Devlin, if this is turned down, certainly can build a triplex. That he needs no one's permission for. A triplex is not three condos, and that will simply be three rentals. So this isn't a threat. I'm just telling everyone here that there's an old saying, be careful what you want, you're going to get it. Well, that's what you're going to get. If you can't have condos there, he owns the land. This isn't one of these pre-selling, you know, you guys probably watch those where they're attempting to sell X amount of units to do something. Mr. Devlin's in the deep end of this pool. He has purchased this land. He didn't buy it to own it. He isn't going to build a house. It's a big piece of land. It's 100 by 100. So simply put, he'd put three rentals there. That's the plan would be.
Well, I guess I respectfully disagree because I've attended many of these hearings, as you know, and where there have been public open houses, and it does actually make quite a difference. I'm just speaking from experience. So,
I
see how it can address concerns and issues. So, you mentioned the amount of. Oh, sorry, Councillor Thomas, go ahead. I've asked a few questions. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. A comment and a question. There isn't always objections that happen. I had an assisted living seniors proposal next to a single family development, 120 units going in there, and because they had an open house and because they invited the community to all come, because people had the opportunity to have coffee and to to express their concerns. There wasn't one person who objected to the development when it came forward in my area. Yes, it was Concordia Place, who does Concordia Hospital, who does all the rest of that. So it was part of that development. So they had an understanding of what the person, what was going to be done in the area, given the track record of the organization and what they did in the community previously. But having a proposal go before the community to make it work so that they could get their concerns about traffic and slow removal and parking and noise and landscaping and what's going to happen to the grandchildren when they're coming over? Are they going to be accommodated? All those questions get answered at a public meeting. So I would suggest that was a fairly big mistake not to have that. And now you say there was a lot of misinformation that was passed around the community. I don't know whether it was or not, but I would suggest to you that an open house would prevent that from happening, because everybody that was there would have that same information and would get an opportunity to ask their questions about rumors that they had heard, and you could nip those in the bud rather than having them spread around the community. So that's my comment. Now, the city has a number of ways in which they can do garbage, and there are regulations on it being neat and tidy, etc. But I've heard the people say that they would like individual bins. Are you going to be accommodating individual bins?
This is not something that myself and Mr. Devlin okay. discussed. I can ask Mr. Devlin or the designer if you'd like to address it right now.
What we've shown so far is a garbage enclosure, which is in keeping with the initial planning of providing a specific location for the garbage. The particulars as to how the garbage is going to be removed and picked up is something that's part of the development agreement, whether it's going to be requested that it's done on self pickup or it's going to be handled by the truck that's in this area currently. But what we have shown is a specific zone for the containment of the garbage.
Normally, what happens in a public meeting is site plans, and one of the concerns that happens in any multifamily development is garbage and how it's enclosed and where it'll be located. I know that those are questions that happen quite often. And I would suggest, again, that's another reason to have a public meeting beforehand. Traffic. I do agree that 9 spots will not significantly increase the traffic on Regent Avenue, but I guess the concern for the residents were not Regent Avenue, it was the back lane. And while the traffic that's going up and down Regent Avenue will not be significantly impacted, the traffic going up and down the back lane will probably be doubled. Do you have plans on how to accommodate the scale of traffic that'll be coming down the back lane?
I'll go back. Can I go back to your comments about public open houses? Because it's
yes.
The point that's been raised here now several times.
By myself, if
yeah,
not
I'm,
others.
I'm just going to go through my experience in this last 6 months with open houses. We conducted extensive door knocking at a project at 750 Taché. We visited every home 5 times so we would make sure we met them, each single person. We had 2 open houses. And then after all that, everyone that was vocally opposed, I'm just being honest with you, they were still vocally opposed. It made no difference. It was, they were in their camp. At the Cornerstone Assisted Living, which was this exact room, and we dealt with that this past fall, we had open houses. We had extensive open houses. And all of those that were vocal in opposition, I'm just being honest with you, that's my experience. I believe you, you do this and done this for years. but in the past year, it seems that there's an entrenched group that shows up with the not in my backyard, no matter what you do. Like, that was assisted living.
But it doesn't help if you don't give them the opportunity to assuage their concerns,
yes,
their fears, and their misunderstanding of what's going on.
I absolutely
that never
understand.
Helps.
I was just saying, in past, it seems that they were very hardliners, is my approach. Now, back to the parking and the people coming and going. This building happens to be right on the corner of Moreau's and Regent. And so I guess someone could go that way, as in head west. But common sense would be that the very first place when they leave the lot is to go not past all of their neighbors who are all to the west, but would be go to east and then get out into the traffic flow. So it's not so much, I think that Mr. Devlin is not that sophisticated of a developer at this point to have a plan of that nature, but certainly it just makes common sense. I think everyone will leave the property and go right out and leave and not go back that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and I've had the same experience Councillor Thomas is referring to. We've done rezonings here for industrial. We've done rezonings here from empty fields in the middle of existing neighborhoods to residential, where people thought it was going to be a park, and we rezoned it, and it's infill. And we've had the public open houses ahead of time, and in both cases, we didn't have anybody in show up in opposition because those issues were addressed up front and ahead of time in a frank manner. Yes, Councillor, sorry, Councillor Barty has a question.
I was going to chime in on the open house issue as well. I mean, we've got this project that Streetside Developments is doing on Rothesay. Previously, a group wanted to put up one project. Streetside came out. They haven't come for the application yet. This was a pre-application. They had the public open house, and there was a very large buy-in from the community. I'd be surprised if there would be local opposition, but again, there likely will be some immediate neighbors perhaps involved. And regarding to Cornerstone, though, the majority of the people that showed up to this room for that particular thing were people that weren't invited to the open house. The open house for the Cornerstone project was not very widely publicized, and the people that did show up were on the opposite side of Raleigh and Gateway, and those were the ones that we saw, for the most part, that were opposed, and those were people that were there. So I just wanted to clarify that for your well-being, too.
Thank you. You mentioned you could build, I think you indicated a three...
Triplex.
Yes. Triplex on the site as the zoning stands right now. The lot is approximately almost 100 feet wide,
yeah, 100,
correct?
100
and about 100 feet deep, roughly.
Yeah.
So you could also potentially file for as a subdivision based on 250-foot lots and build two duplexes.
One would assume
which
that,
would
yep.
be four units each. So can you speak to the height issue that was raised?
Yeah, I'm just following City of Winnipeg administrative staff, and the fact is that the building is at 33 feet within. Even if they were a single family, they could build a 33-foot. Stop me as soon as I get this wrong. Basically, so that was done. Part of the reason of the building's full plan is that the first floor is half, it's like a bi-level home, so it's half submerged and half not, just to keep it below the 35 feet. So even though that they are, in part of their application would be allowed to 60 feet, certainly no one wants a 60-foot building there. That would be crazy. Mr. Devlin and myself would be the first to say that. The thought was, and maybe you raised the issue, I think, Councillor Wyatt, is that a 2.5-story house would be within arguably 5 to 8 feet of what the structure is. So that was done especially to accommodate the fact that, yes, we're not oblivious, of course, the fact that there's residential homes, single family and two-story. So the 33 feet certainly was the best that could be done once we sunk the first floor to get it to that height and not be an albatross in comparison to its neighbors.
Back window view, that was raised as an issue. We see the front design here. What is the back going to look like?
Can I just grab my little factory? I do have it in here. Can I bring this over to you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be the first to say that it's not as extensive and as decorative as the front, but probably would replicate almost every single family home in Winnipeg. We don't have many people that go to the expense of wrapping around, you know, the nice brick and the siding and the detail. So it's going to be pretty plain. I'm going to be the first to admit that, but then it's guilty no more. So, you know, there are condominiums I sell for $1 million on Waterfront Drive that have the same back. Maybe that's the problem too, but...
Okay, thank you. Just from your diagram here, the visual, the pitched roof looks a lot higher in this visual than
okay.
that visual.
I'm going to have Mr. Massey answer that.
It does look higher because the, and that's one reason why we do perspectives, because the perspective is at eye level, and that's the way the roof will actually look. When you look at it in two-dimensional format, the whole height of the roof looks like one big solid piece. But because it's a receding peak line, the roof doesn't look as tall as an elevational view will.
But this is correct then?
But that's correct.
Technically.
Both of them are correct. Both of them are at the same height. It's just that you're standing at eye level. And there's a roof receding away from you, that peak.
This is eye level. Yes, this is eye level.
That's straight on.
Okay.
So the roof, like it looks like it's this way.
Right.
But the roof doesn't go vertical. It's at a slope. So if you really stand out and look at the roof, if you took a lot of the single-family homes there, if they had, for example, a 4-12 roof slope on a bungalow, a lot of them you can't even see the peak because the roof is so low. But if you drew it, the roof would look tall.
If I can ask, is there a reason why you're having such a pitched roof?
Why is the roof at that slope?
Yeah.
It's, we're trying to replicate some, or get some sort of roofscape to the building, so that given the height, that we still will see that there is a roof on the building. We don't want it to look like a flat roof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The taller the building gets, we want to increase the pitch so that from street level, it looks like that roof on.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Landscaping, did you have any ideas on your landscaping plan?
Sorry, you want to speak to that?
We've done some preliminary landscaping included in our site planning that meets with the basic requirements set by city planning. There is somewhat of a guideline of how many trees plant along the sides and front of this property. Any trees that we have shown in our artist's sketch are more or less to a lot of it is to hide the background, that it isn't replicate all the houses that are there. But the landscaping plan will be submitted along with the development plans for this.
So you wouldn't have any objection to filing a landscape site plan for approval of the community committee with regards to both the landscaping and the garbage bins?
No.
How they're contained?
No. I should mention something here just for the neighbors to know this too. This developer, when they sell their fifth unit, no longer in control of this entire site, that when you get over 50% sales, then of course a committee is formed of the owners, a cooperative. There's a president, vice president, you know, treasurer, and so on. Immediately they make all the decisions, including how they landscape. So that I've been involved in projects where, and they do, of course they take pride in their how their place is going to look, and so they'll already, they versus Mr. Devlin will be making decisions as to shrubs, plants, and so on, just so you're
okay. Are there any other questions, counselors? I don't have any other questions at this point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Okay. I'm going to, if I can pass the chair, Councillor Thomas, can you take the chair?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in but amended with the following changes. I'm going to move that the site be limited to a maximum of a two-story building under the zoning and to a maximum of 7 units. As well, I'm going to move that the property, that there be a site plan approval, come back for approval at this community committee with regards to landscaping and the garbage issue. as well as the layout for the garbage location. I'm going to move as well to ensure that, as part of this, Madam Clerk, that it's stated clearly that as a minimum, that the east side yard be the 9.75 feet, that the front yard be a minimum of 25 feet, that the west yard be a minimum of 12 feet, and that there be a minimum of 9 parking stalls supplied as part of the development.
Good motion.
I'm just going to make some comments about it just once.
Okay.
And that the backyard be a minimum of 27-foot rear yard as well.
And you wanted to comment?
The residents had a lot of concerns with regards to the type of building going in. It is true that this is it's being rezoned for a multiple family site, but this is a 100-foot wide lot. It could easily be developed into 2 lots on the site, or maybe even possibly 3 with a 100-foot wide strip, with a maximum of 2 units if they wanted to do duplex on each one for a total of 4 units. I've indicated a maximum of 7 units. In reality, with the size of the building, they're probably going to be a maximum of 6 units tops on the site, and to a maximum of 2 stories. So basically now you had a building which was 2.5 or 3 stories high. 3 stories, I would call it, because of the pitch roof. It's now going to be restricted to 2 stories, which is basically what anybody on Regent Avenue on the south side or on Melrose Avenue could build if they wanted to, a 2-story house. The issue was raised with regards to parking. I think it's a genuine concern. Therefore, the restriction at 7 units, the parking on the site, they'll have to be required to accommodate 9 parking stalls, which is more than the amount of units they have on the site, which will hopefully accommodate some of that parking if there's more than 1 parking stall per unit. I felt that there was a case made for the 3-story building, I guess, across the street. But my view is that's across the street. There's 4 lanes, or actually 6 lanes at Regent Avenue coming in there with the large boulevard. That's a fair distance from your local neighborhood, which is the immediate area off of Melrose and Pandora and Regent. And so I wanted to maintain the character of the neighborhood while at the same time allowing for some change, because that's important in the neighborhood if you want to have some renewal to allow for that. This will accommodate some multiple family in the area, which is a good thing to allow for the neighborhood to renew. But at the same time, it's not going to create a large wall, because that's what I kind of saw when I saw the back of the building here, was kind of a large wall going up that you'd be facing, and then a high-pitched roof. Bringing it down to maximum of 2 stories, even though the zoning could give them more by making it a maximum of 2 stories through the hearing here, that will keep the building to a livable level compared to other homes in the area. The site plan approval basically requires that the developer has to come back with a site plan approval for the site with regards to the landscaping and the green space. I hope that addresses the issue with regards to sight lines that was raised of coming around the corner. That will be something that we'll watch to make sure that the sight lines are good, so you can make that turn off of Regent onto Mirage, considering the traffic levels. As well, it will hopefully address the issue with regards to garbage, because that's something we'll watch for with regards to how the landscaping is done around the garbage to try to address the garbage issue. I think the rezoning, potentially on Regent Avenue, you could end up getting a commercial business wanting to locate in a location like that. I don't think that would be good for the area. I think it's important to keep it residential. By doing this, we're keeping it residential, but at the same time, allowing for a neighborhood to change. I don't really buy the argument made by the developer that that 9 units are the make it or break it. There is a site on property on the house that has to be removed. Of course, there's a cost to that. But the fact of the matter is you could potentially get up to 7 units, realistically 6 on this site. With this rezoning, and if they wanted to subdivide it, they could accommodate anywhere from 4 to 6 with a rezoning for still single-family homes. So I believe this is being fair to the developer, and it's also trying to ensure that the community, it works for the community as well. It may not be what everybody came to the hearing wanting to achieve, but it's a way to try to ensure that you have a renewal in your neighborhood, which is important, as it is an older neighborhood, and you want to ensure that you have young families staying in that neighborhood and coming back to that neighborhood. So I'm going to move that, councillors. And
Councillor Baradi, did you have any comments before we vote?
I think what, so I echo what Councillor Wyatt said. I mean, neighborhoods do change over time. That said, I mean, it still has to be a compatible fit to the neighborhood. There's definitely the demand for multifamily housing, and seniors want to stay in the neighborhood they know and they grew up with. They want to go to the grocery store they used to go to. They want to visit their families that are in their neighborhoods. They don't, like they said, you know, a condominium project in Tuxedo isn't that relevant when you have all your families in Transcona or East Kildonan or North Kildonan. It's, the reality is the demand is definitely there for that type of development. And I think by the changes Councillor Wyatt made to the developer's plan, it's a good balance between, you know, providing that type of housing while still trying to keep the character of the neighborhood. So I will be supporting Councillor Wyatt's motion.
Okay. Thank you. I have a few comments to add. There's been several things, comments made about what makes people resist change. I say there's two basic reasons. One is when the community doesn't understand it. The second one is when the change agent doesn't understand the community. And I think that the opportunities for doing that is when there's an open house beforehand so that there can be good dialogue between the change agent and the community to make so that they can see that their concerns are being met. And that the change agent can understand the needs and the concerns of the community that they're dealing with. I think we also have a second problem in that the rules have changed with regard to how long we can hold this at the community committee. We have a fairly good reputation of having come to positive conclusion in most developments that have happened in our area. I think we've refused very few. And most of it has been because we've held over at the community committee level until a developer gets it. Sometimes we've held over a proposal for as much as 2 years, and it has been sent back again and again until the developer actually gets it and meets the needs of the community so that change can be adapted. But now, changes have occurred just recently to how a community committee can deal with it. There was a unified bylaw that was pushed through just recently, and that a community committee has to decide one way or the other within two meetings and push it along before the community has been adequately heard, before adequate consultation is done, and it makes you make a decision prematurely without getting the needs met. I feel that if we were to hold this over, I feel that the community and the developer could come to a conclusion about this in which they could all be comfortable. But right now, we're guesstimating. Councillor Wyatt has reduced the number of units from 9 to 7, has reduced the impact of the height to a maximum 2-story rather than a maximum 3-story, has changed the site plan a little. Are these changes enough to the community? We don't know, because in order to make motions, we've had to close delegations. And so now we're in the thing where we make motions, delegations have been closed because we've had limited feedback and we're kind of flying based on what we've heard this one time before we move it forward. I kind of agree with Councillor Wyatt that I think we have met the concerns of the community. But if we would have been able to lay it over, take into consideration, ask you to go back and order you to have a public meeting and get you to come back, and then ask everybody before we close the delegations, have they met your needs? Do you have it? We can't do that kind of thing anymore, and that bugs the heck out of me. And I think that as developers, you've got to be a lot more respectful of the community and do those upfront things beforehand, or else you're going to get a lot more resistant, because it's ignorance that makes people resistant, and you've got to educate people to what you're doing and get them to understand, because when people understand, then they will accept. And it's ignorance of the community on both sides. You got to understand what the people are concerned about and accommodate their needs as well. And I think that we have done that, but I can't be sure. And that frustrates me, and I think that the change in the rules has made it frustrating. Given that, at this point, I will support your compromise, and so I will be doing that. But it's with a great degree of frustration and disappointment with the process that I do so. And you get a chance to close on your motion, Councillor Wyatt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to add as well that I think it's crucial that developers or applicants coming forward do have public open houses and consultation ahead of time. I know it makes a difference. I'd encourage the public service that in the future, that always be the case and that always be encouraged. As a matter of fact, through this new process Councillor Thomas is referring to, there's actually a pre-application stage which allows the developers to do that sort of public consultation, which obviously is a choice of the developer, and that was not taken in this case, and that's unfortunate. But I believe that as Councillor Thomas was made note of, I think we're trying to basically ensure that this development lives within the spirit of the community and does not compromise values but rather raise values in the neighborhood. So I'm going to move the motion.
Okay, for the motion, in favor,
aye.
Opposed, carried.
And I'll move that the hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All in favor, any opposed, carried.
And I'll move that with respect to the zoning, the variance, that the same conditions apply as mentioned earlier, and that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.